You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com. Get one free audiobook today through Audible on us. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at JohnnyRocketLaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at LionsOfLiberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians. I'm also going to start adding this to the beginning. If you're new to the program, we usually bullshit for like the first 15 minutes or so, and then 15, 20 minutes, and then we get to the topic. I had a lot of people comment, oh, I tried to get to it, but there's just so much inside baseball. Well, that's because we have wonderful, charming personalities, and we think you all should know them. Joining me for this episode, that is not the case, actually, with this episode. We're going to get right to it, because we're under time constraints, and we got a lot to talk about. This is probably going to be the first of a breakdown of a few. So, we're talking Clinton cash today, and with me is Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm fan-freaking-tastic. And then we've got Chris Mayo. Chris, how are you?
Good, buddy. Thanks, as always. Yes. Glad to be on here.
Battle up. So we are diving in. We haven't really talked, you know, we talked the issues of the day, but we haven't spent much time on old Hill Dog, have we?
No,
but it's time.
It's time to unleash on Hill Dog.
I'm triggered.
Yep.
You know, if
she might have triggered you more than Trump.
It's so Trump gives us so much to talk about. It's so hard.
I know.
It's so fun to talk about.
I looked on Politico 2 days ago, and she had given. I was planning to give a speech, and out of 13 stories, 12 were Trump.
Yeah,
I thought that's just domination.
But and I think that's a real shame. And it is funny because you know the range of people that I have on my Facebook. I'll see somebody go, you know, it's the Clinton News Network, and Hillary just gets a pass in the media, and they just bash Trump. And then there's people who are like, oh, Trump gets such a pass in the media, and everybody attacks Hillary. You know, and I just sit there and go, "There, it's pretty much equal.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but there is, in my view, this is a totally underreported story. So I go to the bookstore on Friday. As you know, I am now single, and I am... I'm mostly a nerd. I host a libertarian podcast, and Single Spangle works very hard on the podcast. Single Relationship Spangle, not as much, as we have noted, but so Single Spangle on Friday of last week was Lonely Spangle and left work and went to the library and then hung out there till about 4 o'clock and then went to Half Price Books and hung out there till about 6 o'clock. And then went to Barnes & Noble's and walked around Barnes & Noble till about 9:30. And I picked up the graphic novel of Clinton Cash. I didn't realize it was a full book till after reading the whole Clinton Cash graphic novel. But it only took me about 45 minutes to an hour to just kind of breeze through this thing. My jaw hit the floor because I had heard about this, but I hadn't really taken an in-depth look at the Clinton Foundation and what has happened. And Bill and Hillary have essentially weaponized international graft. If you don't know what graft means, it means pay to play. It's corruption. So I sent a note to Greg. I said, we got to talk about this next week. This is insane. And
you haven't been triggered by anything in a while. And it
the further
fully triggered.
You
went cis white male racism triggered.
I was in the Matrix. Ow! I took the mic off here. I was just sitting there at doing research this week.
I've never seen
him
take the mic off.
All right.
So in 4 years. He's that triggered.
This triggered. So
you're a white male.
We need a camera.
I just turned into the Matrix, and I got on the internet, and I started looking and researching, and I've saved 50 articles on Instagram, and I'm just like...
so busy interneting.
I was just interneting. It was just insane. And I just am... I can't believe it. It's so mind-blowingly corrupt. Listeners know how much I hate Donald Trump. I think he's a buffoon. I think he wants to commit war crimes. I think he is totally ill-suited to... I think he's a charlatan. I think that he is a corrupt crony capitalist. And I've always said, oh, but so is Hillary. Donald Trump paid $25,000 to the Florida Attorney General to not pursue the Trump Youth thing. That's corrupt. That's not good. But these people have made $2 billion in 2 years. So let's start.
Not made. Their foundation has received donations. Yeah.
Right. The Clinton Family Foundation. So I've listened to hours of interviews with Peter Schweitzer, and I've read Counter. I was on Media Matters today, just typing away, trying to fact check it. It's just, oh my gosh. So let's break this down. We're going to try to cover as much as we can, but
this is
probably
perfect. Sums it up.
That's how I feel about Hillary.
Yeah, I just vomited in my cup.
Show's over.
Yep.
So
I want to purge her.
So we're gonna do our best. So Greg, why don't you give us? Let's start. Why don't you start? You're the information man on this podcast. You know, I'm just the trained monkey that pushes the buttons.
No pressure.
I don't know. Where would you like me to start? Would you like me to start how this all came about?
Yes.
Okay. So, given Bill Clinton's difficulty keeping his crotch zipped up while he was in the White House and when he was governor, they had just lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit the entire time that they had to privately pay for while they were in office. And it ended up leaving them in basically a position where they had almost nothing. I would guess a negative net worth and carrying debt. So much so that the DNC bought them the house in Westchester.
Yeah, I remember County. That. Yeah.
And so, they really did find themselves in quite the predicament. And then Hillary, the plan was always, she'll run for Senate, then she'll be president. It's her entitled, she will break the glass ceiling because she's the chosen woman.
Right.
But so then Bill starts foundation. He starts it at the William Jefferson Clinton School of Public Service. It's in the School of Public Service at Arkansas University in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out as just a small operation, and he's bored as hell when he leaves the White House. But he's young. He's 55, 54, something like that. Yeah. 53, right in that area.
Still rock hard.
Yep. No Viagra. Oh, my God.
Hey, beautiful.
Oh, a little thing called hope. But so he ends up starting this foundation, just something to fill the time. But what he does in the meantime, interesting story, Steven Spielberg gave him one of the very first TiVos. So he spent his entire first 3 months in Westchester in the house, not going out, because he still wasn't, he was toxic still a little bit because of the scandal.
He couldn't campaign for Al Gore.
No, still a little politically toxic, so he had to just sit and be for a while. And so he starts the foundation. It's just sort of, punting along, got a few things going on, but no real money coming in. But then he gets TiVo, and he spends the entire first 2-3 years just binge-watching and catching up on all of the TV shows and movies.
That's funny.
Because Steven Spielberg gave it to him as a personal gift.
I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah. That's great.
And so then he has a handler, and the guy's name's escaping me, but you'd probably recognize it if you heard it, that they're on a flight. Bill Clinton's on a flight. John Cusack's on a flight. A couple of Larry Page of Google's on the flight. And then some academics and intellectuals and news reporters.
Love are, Google.
Yeah, Brad Pitt. They're all on this flight to Davos.
Right.
And the guy that's his, like, number one in command, his, you know, chief or sort of his chief of staff is like, you know, only Bill Clinton could freaking pull this off. He's sitting here holding court with actors, you know, intellectuals, the brightest minds in the country, reporters who could spill all this in a second. And everyone's just captivated and having a great time. And the whole thing was paid for and set up by a Saudi prince.
Right.
In order to fly them over because they were going to pay Bill for his first speech overseas.
Leo, if you
like 200 grand.
If you let me smell your fingers, I'll let you smell mine.
Yeah. I sure like that, honey.
Hey, Stu.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't sweat much for a chubby Jewish girl.
Bring me one of them cigars.
Yeah. So his chief staff gets this idea, like, God, we should do a Davos. Bill Clinton could be a flying Davos himself wherever he goes. He just brings a crowd and people are captivated and it's amazing. And so they get this idea to use the foundation for that. But they sign with the Walker Agency to represent him for speaking fees. And so what he starts doing is he gets speaking fees, going to these organizations, and then people start coming to him once Chelsea went to Columbia, and they moved the operations to Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And so first, there's this store operator, little small podunk store operator, comes to Bill, and you know, now he's in the neighborhood in Harlem, you know, first black president, playing it up.
Right.
You know,
like, and it was such a, like, and I remember the black community was just like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a story.
Yeah. But well, so then he, but he, I swear to God, he's a good guy with he loves people.
Yeah.
And so he gets Booz Allen to come in and put together a case study on best practices for small independent chain retailers in Harlem to stay in business and grow and thrive.
Explain what Booz Allen is.
That's actually who Edward Snowden worked for.
Right.
They're a massive government contractor and management consulting firm, have various other services and like optimization, IT solutions, just the whole shebang. But they mainly do analytics and analysis, big data now. But so he gets them to come in and do a case study, and that turns into the neighborhood growing and thriving. So the initiative starts thriving. He feels relevant again because he's right in the midst. People are coming up to him. Hey, let's get involved in this. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll get somebody on that.
Yeah.
Just committing to everything and starting to taking donations, but no real initiatives really getting underway. It's just donations. And yeah, we've got somebody on that. Hey, you want to come to this party? We're going to have a black tie, you know, doing what he does. And so it just slowly builds out of it. Yeah, it slowly builds out of that. And then his brand just becomes this global franchise that had staying power. No one else does. Really, in the United States or globally, no one has the power to draw a crowd like Bill and maintained it even longer into his after his presidency, like H.W. Bush. Yeah, he served on some boards and he gave speeches. Ronald Reagan gave a speech, and he always got chastised because he gave a speech after he left in Tokyo for $2 million. That was his appearance fee to go. And it's while we were negotiating a contentious trade agreement with the Japanese.
Yeah.
And H.W. Bush gave him a hard time, you know, said, well, you know, you got to refill your coffers, I think he said, or something like that. And so, but like Bill has just grown in prominence and become this global Ike or this global network.
Right.
You know, he is the hub of this incredibly powerful global network. The reason why is his access to power is his wife, who's a senator.
Right.
And setting herself up for president. So it starts to turn into something where, my God, we just have money pouring in. We don't even, and no one's really been running the organization to, you know, really spearhead all these philanthropic efforts.
Mm-hmm.
But So instead, they end up hiring, like, what's her name? Huma. Anthony Weiner's ex-wife.
Yes.
Soon to be ex-wife.
Yeah.
And they start getting involved in things like Haiti and internationally. Well, it gets to the point where once Hillary decides to start running for office, she does a speech. She speaks to Goldman Sachs. She's pulling in $200K a speech. Bill's pulling in anywhere from $300K to $700K. Mm-hmm. I mean, they knocked down $16 million. $16 million, just him personally in 1 year in speaking.
That was after she became Secretary of State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, he got hired by the largest for-profit educational institution in globally. And so in the United States, it's known as Walden College out of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And so they offer Bill a position on the board, and the key is to partner with the State Department on some training programs and educational opportunities you know, to boost the prestige of a for-profit, you know, strip mall college.
Right, mm-hmm. like ITT Tech.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And then, but they use Bill Clinton. They say, well, we'll give you honorary chancellor position for the tune of $18 million. Mm. Well, they also, turns out, they get guaranteed federal student loan funding. And so it ends up being $100 million, you know, $200 million annually operating budget organization to the point where they can almost buy the Thunderbird Institute out in Scottsdale, Arizona that was eventually, you know, they poo-pooed that because they bought the accrediting institution that was in charge. So, I mean, it's just a corrupt organization, but they put his face, like he's the chancellor of this for-profit strip mall school and, you know, saying what an opportunity. And I'm 404 education, just total BS.
Yale grad, Oxford grad, Rhodes Scholar, you know, for-profit college.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I got my JD MBA at Strayer, got my undergrad at Brown Mackey.
Right.
You know, God. And you know, but he needed to make money. And so he started making money. The guy is a college dropout that actually started the organization, but just charmed him to death and said, I'll make you rich.
So he created his own college degree. Yeah.
Yep, he did. He created his own for-profit college and then got a former president to get them access to federally guaranteed student loans.
Well, this guy is a genius.
I tell you what, you know, I can't fault him completely.
Yeah.
No. You know, he certainly did it right. But this thing just grows and grows. Then it turns in, they essentially turn it into the holding company for donations for people that wanted political access and political results.
Sure.
I've tried to think of a great way to describe it. It's just the greatest lobbying organization in the history of Earth. It's brilliant because you have a separate for-profit institution, then their actual personal income comes from their speaking fees, which is the litmus test to get access to be to have the right to make a donation for them to accept your agenda. And then that keeps Bill and Hillary flying around in private jets, eating at the best restaurants, yada, 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 because those are operating expenses.
Yeah, they've for years, corporations and foreign governments have paid. I'm reading this from, listen, don't judge me. This is from Radar Online. It's like a TMZ type website, but they put together this infographic that is so great. We'll post it on the Facebook page. For years, corporations and foreign governments have paid the Clintons hundreds of millions in the form of speech fees. Bill made $104.9 million for 542 speeches since 2001, donations to their foundations and contributions to their various campaigns. And all too often, a clear connection exists between paying into the Clinton kitty and getting the benefit of considerable political might. And perhaps most alarming is how foreign governments and corporations seem to benefit from such payoffs in violation of the spirit of American election law. It's
pay to play. There's no way around it. It's pay to play. You have to pay them. You have to hire them to come speak. And I'll tell you, he is such a captivating speaker. Like, to hear what these people, like the American Retailers or Federation of Retailers or something like that, were like, God, we had Bill Clinton 8 years after the guy was out of office. And they were in like a really exotic location. And no one was in the spa. Everyone was at there just captivated, waiting to hear what he was going to say.
Yeah.
And it was just what he normally does, you know. But, you know, he just has turned him. He's turned himself into Trump. He's licensed his personal brand, but instead he sells political favors via his wife.
Yeah,
as opposed to a luxury brand, and it's kind of brilliant. You know, you have to admire it because he's the only person in the world I think that could pull it off. He is so likable and actually genuinely does like people and enjoy their company, and yet he would sell his grandmother for a nickel.
This is from the New York Post. The Clinton family's mega charity took in more than $140 million in grants and pledges in 2013, but spent just $9 million on direct aid.
Yep.
So that's not even 10%.
The rest went into higher than anticipated operating expenses.
Yeah. Right.
Shockingly, an IRS audit was not authorized.
Yeah. It's just amazing. I mean, the amount of... And this book, Clinton Cash, it is written by the editor-at-large of Breitbart.
Yeah.
Peter Schweitzer. He is... obviously, I have problems with Breitbart. But Peter Schweitzer is a legitimate researcher, and if he didn't expose his political leanings, I think that he would actually be considered a pretty credible source. He'd probably win Pulitzers. Let me just read you some of the headlines, though, because since this book came out in 2015, various news organizations have gone and taken some of these facts and looked into them. And these are just some of the headlines from some of these Tony Radom's ties invite scrutiny for Hillary and Bill from the New York Times.
Her brother.
Right.
He got one of the second only ever mining licenses in the history of the country.
Right.
Shockingly, the value of the company went way up.
Yeah.
And I wonder who held stock.
Right. Vox.com, certainly not a conservative news outlet. 181 Clinton Foundation donors who lobbied Hillary's State Department. New Aberdeen emails reveal Hillary Clinton's State Department gave special access to top Clinton Foundation donors. That's from Judicial Watch. That's a conservative news outlet. From the Washington Post, 1,100 donors to a Canadian charity tied to the Clinton Foundation remain secret. Role of Hillary's brother in Haiti gold mine.
The Ukrainians, we sold Ukrainian, or what was it? We sold nuclear, or what did we sell? There was a Ukrainian billionaire that paid like $1 million for him to come speak.
Yeah.
So, and then Russia's bank, a bank in Russia paid him $700,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then shockingly, 9 days before, they received up like to $115 million in donations right before the State Department okayed it for the sale to the Ukrainian person.
Right. So the New York Times actually did a full piece on this, and they investigated this and found it. It's titled, it's April 23rd, 2015 by Joe Becker and Mike McIntyre. Cash flowed to Clinton Foundation amid Russian uranium deal. And they did a flow chart, essentially. So I'll kind of give you the recap of this. And this is just one example. This chart is April 22nd. Donations to the Clinton Foundation and a Russian uranium takeover. Uranium investors' efforts to buy mining assets in Kazakhstan and the United States led to a takeover bid by a Russian state-owned energy company. The investors gave millions to the Clinton Foundation over the same period, while Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's office was involved with approving the Russian bid. There's a guy named Frank Giustra.
Frank, that's him.
Frank Giustra now sits on the board of he is on the board of the Clinton Foundation. September 2005, Frank Giustra, a Canadian mining financier, wins a major uranium deal in Kazakhstan for his company, Eurasia, days after visiting the country with former Bill Clinton. 2006, Mr. Giustra donates $31.3 million to the Clinton Foundation. Bill Clinton goes to Kazakhstan and praises the leader of Kazakhstan, who is a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Think of going to Venezuela and praising Chavez. So he goes with this Canadian financier, Frank Giustra, who sits on the board of the Clinton Foundation now, and he becomes one of the biggest donors to the Clinton Foundation. He's a mining financier, wins a major uranium deal in Kazakhstan days after visiting with Clinton.
Yeah, the State Department approves it, they didn't approve the Russian deal.
So when she became Secretary of State, we'll get to this, when she became Secretary of State, she signed a deal with the Obama administration, basically saying that the State Department would have final say and oversight in everything that they would go and he would send in his speeches to an ethics department and have it clear to make sure that everything was above board.
They'd open the kimono, if you will.
Right. And that they would disclose all of the donations. That never happened. It was about 4 to 5 months that actually lasted. And the way that Bill Clinton would check ethical speeches, he would send to a State Department employee,
mm-hmm.
his speeches. And this person would say yes or no. This person was appointed by Bill Clinton to the State Department and hired there ultimately. And in the email communications that they would have with the State Department, they would copy the chief of staff for Hillary Clinton. So you have your direct boss's chief of staff monitoring the communications with the ethics department and Bill Clinton's office. So if the person who has the final say works for Hillary Clinton, is being monitored by Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, and is dealing with Hillary Clinton's husband, do you think that the ethics person is going to ever turn down a speech?
I don't know what you're trying to say. Are you trying to imply that Clintons have been anything but beacons of ethics?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, keep in mind, he was censured.
Right.
He was almost impeached. He lost by one vote.
Mm-hmm. So Frank Giustra's,
why would he lie, though?
Frank Giustra's company, Eurasia, in February of 2007, merges with the South African mining company and assumes the name Uranium One. In the next 2 months, the company expands into the United States. June 2008, negotiations begin for an investment in Uranium One by the Russian Atomic Energy Agency, Rosatom. Mm-hmm. 2008 to 2010, Uranium One and former Eurasia investors make $8.65 million in donations to the Clinton Foundation. Uranium One investors stand to profit on a Rosatom deal. Rosatom, in June 2009, Rosatom subsidiary ARMZ takes a 17% ownership stake in Uranium One. So they...
A new outside entity was created to
right.
buy in.
Right. And right. so.
Want to know why?
Why?
So that they could have outside investors come in for the first time and allocate shares.
Right.
Who do you want to bet?
Yeah.
Right.
Got awarded some shares. I guarantee it's Tony Rodham.
Right. So Uranium One is now 17% owned by the Russian government. And in 2010, 2011, investor gives millions more in donations to the Clinton Foundation. June 2010.
Some might call that a dividend.
Right. Rosatom seeks majority ownership of Uranium One pending approval by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, of which the State Department is a member. Rosatom says it does not plan to increase its stake in Uranium One or to take the company private. June 29th, 2010, Bill Clinton is paid $500,000 for a speech in Moscow by a Russian investment bank with ties to the Kremlin that assigned a buy rating to Uranium One stock. October 2010.
Everything above board.
Right. Rosatom's majority ownership approved by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. And in January 2013, the Russian government takes full control of Uranium One and takes it private. So the Russians own 100% of this company and the rights to Kazaki Uranium, which is one of the greatest sources of uranium in the world and very hard to find outside of it. So Bill Clinton personally made $500,000 and the Clinton Foundation made millions of dollars on this investment.
Well, that's
and
thing
got a
very
board
smart. Like, there's no way to tell. They use multiple holding corporations that a new entity is created. They buy in. They're not subject to the same requirements. You know, one he uses is WFC LLC. And passes through just time and time again. That one consistently shows up as a new, equity shareholder, or for, like at a buy-in when there's a new entity created.
So let's go back and add a few more details to this. So Bill Clinton, they meet with the Kazakhstan's dictator in his palace when they first go. They go and meet Borat.
My brother Milo. She'll never get this.
During the chat, Clinton champions the strongman's efforts to head an international elections monitoring group contrary to stated U.S. foreign policy. So here's a guy who won with 100% of the vote because his people love him so much.
Sounds legit.
Like Reagan.
Right. And right. And Bill Clinton decides in their first meeting he likes this guy so much that he's going to put him in charge of an international elections monitoring group. Within days of the palace meeting, Giustra's mining company, Eurasia, inks a deal giving it part ownership of three state-run uranium mines in Kazakhstan. Months after the Kazakhstan visit, Giustra donates $31.3 million to the Clinton Foundation, and Giustra's company, renamed Uranium One, snaps up uranium mills and mines across the American West, equivalent to 20% of the U.S.'s total production capacity. In three transactions from 2009 to 2013, Russia's state-owned nuclear company, Rosatom, buys Uranium One. Since uranium is a strategic asset of vital importance to the U.S., then Secretary of State had to sign off. She did so, effectively giving the Russians massive control over uranium. The same month, June 2010, that Rosatom signed its deal for a majority stake in Uranium One, Bill Clinton gave that $500,000 speech. This is just one instance.
Yeah.
There are literally...
Keystone Pipeline.
I was getting ready to say, right. Yeah. So she said, like, what they make? Like, $1.5 million from 2 years giving speeches funded by TD Bank, which is a major backer. The XL
they were the whole, primary equity shareholders.
And now we had. I don't think that was the only bank they were receiving money from on that one, was there?
No,
no.
Goldman Sachs had a deal into it. They were looking to finance
it. Next thing
it.
You know, she's okay with the XL pipeline.
Yeah, and then there was a boutique investment firm that primarily does Chinese investment growth up in like Stanford, Connecticut.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, just time and time again. I mean, they're. Damn, they're smart.
I know.
I swear to God, it's the if you've seen The Wolf of Wall Street, has anyone here seen it?
Yes.
So everyone's seen it.
Made my soul hurt.
Well, what they did is so the reason he escaped SEC oversight is he traded in technically penny stocks. They were stocks that weren't necessarily trading in pennies because then they'd be what are called the pink sheets under a dollar. Mm-hmm. But he found a sweet spot where they were between a dollar and $5, and he was able to buy all the shares. Then what he would do is, since the stock price would go up, he would have to report, you know, there would be reporting requirements, and he couldn't own all of the shares, or you're basically just telling your sales force to go out and pump the sales price up, and you hold until it gets so ridiculous, then you dump and flood the market mm-hmm. and tell your salespeople, don't you dare let them sell, because then you're still, you know, that's when you're raking in the money. They did the same thing, so you have to have rat holes. Tony
Rodham
is one. I guarantee you there are just multiple people, all who spread and are awarded equity shares in order to avoid the Clintons being too heavily scrutinized, and their awarded shares are holding stocks for these deals that are inevitably going to go to and then be exploited on public markets because of a huge increase in demand. I mean, Vladimir Putin assumed absolute control by making all his friends rich through these deals.
Yeah.
His entire idea was to take all the state-sponsored, inefficient ideas, or what do you call them, champions of growth, and energy, oil, all these types of industries, and privatize them. But in the process, he would forge deals through the people who were the existing shareholders. He'd buy them at a certain price, get the things approved with his political access, turn himself into a billionaire, and turn his friends into a billionaire, and he'd control the elections and the flow of money through Russia, and he'd never have to worry about losing an election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and the Clintons did it for him through the Ukrainian-Kazakh deal.
Yeah, so in April 26th of 2015, Chris Wallace was interviewing Peter Schweitzer, and he says the following. Chris Wallace says, "You have an interesting point that I want to put up on the screen that seems to demonstrate exactly the point you're making," Wallace said. "Between 2001 and 2012, Bill Clinton made 13 speeches, 13 for which he was paid $500,000 or more. 11 of those 13 speeches were at least 8 years after he left the presidency while his wife was Secretary of State." And this has been deemed true by PolitiFact. And what generally happens is when a president leaves, look at George Bush. So George Bush left the White House, George W. Bush left the White House and wrote Decision Points. And then he's kind of faded into obscurity. Yeah. And there's that brief moment where he came out for Jeb. But generally his juice is gone. You know, look at George H.W. Bush. He wrote All the Best and a couple other books, but
we're not looking for their endorsement.
Right. As time went on, people didn't hear from Gerald Ford. They didn't
have a half-life.
Right. Yeah. You have a half-life. And, you know, Ronald Reagan, after he got out, went and gave a couple speeches to the Japanese and got paid a bunch of, and it was such a huge scandal then that he did this. But he didn't really give many speeches, or well, he didn't. He wasn't really the public guy.
I don't think he was capable.
He had Alzheimer's.
Two years before the end of his term.
Yeah, right? I was going to say. I was thinking he had the early onset, probably when he got reelected.
Right. So generally, a president's power and his ability to command a market price of $500,000 is unheard of. Unless you're Bill Clinton. And somehow his price as a speaker went from $100,000. It started out at $50,000 and then went to $100,000. And then when his wife becomes Secretary of State, he's now pulling $500,000, mostly from foreign investors.
Well, like the Crown Prince of Bahrain,
yeah.
Where we have our fleet. The Crown. We have what fleets for the Navy over there? Which one of our? We have access to that.
Yeah.
So he gets himself into a squabble and has to make a donation to the Clinton Global Initiative of $500,000 in order to get access to get some reforms made through and even get a meeting with Hillary Clinton, the Crown Prince of
right.
Bahrain. Of our entire ability to enforce the naval power in the Gulf, Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if that is okay, then what isn't okay? I mean, she's Crooked Hillary, yeah. And she's incontinent, and she shits herself.
Oh.
And she barfs up frogs like in Revelations.
Oh, my. Yeah, so...
Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary.
I wish I could remember most of it, but the Indian angle is so, like, mind-blowing to me. Shaguri? No, that's the Nigerian mogul. It's the guy in New York City who is one of the Indian princes, and his dad has access to all the top money in India.
Yeah, and, the Brahmin class.
Right, and when she was against a nuclear issues in
between Pakistan and India.
Yeah, right, India, yeah. And then they started buying her off. And the Secretary of State, she changed her tune.
Well, her position evolves, Chris.
Right.
Yeah.
And this guy in New York City, Chalabi? I think it was Chalabi.
Yeah, he's serving the prison sentence right now, right?
No. No, he's not.
Oh, no, those were two top financiers from her 2008 run.
Right. He did get charged.
Didn't give enough, otherwise they wouldn't be in prison.
Right. He did get charged.
He was a hedge fund manager.
Right. He did get charged with illegal contributions to the Clintons because he was going out and doing bundling and saying that he was donating the money. So I can't be a millionaire.
He is one of the rat holes.
Right. And I can't. So I would give Chris the $5,000. Yeah, the $2,500 to donate on my behalf.
Mm-hmm. To his campaign.
Right. So if I were donating to Greg's campaign, I am federally I'm only allowed to give him $2,500.
Right.
You are only allowed to give him $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
But what would happen is I would give him $5,000 and we put it in my name and your name. And so that's what he was doing.
That's called money laundering.
Right. And
that's how the mob was broken.
He got caught doing that for Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, and he was facing like 20 years in jail. And then when he suddenly one day the charges were dropped, it just went away, and he never actually served. He didn't get in trouble at all. So
that's what happens,
right? And then he was invited
that's how it works.
He was invited to Bill Clinton's 60th birthday party, which was one of the hottest invites you could possibly get.
I mean, you're talking about Bill Clinton, who Mark Rich, I forget, he was in the movie industry. He was kind of like the Roman Polanski of our age. Clinton had a bedroom in his Newport Beach home where it isn't disputed. It was a Roman Polanski thing where girls under the age of 18 were consistently brought for massive parties, and he cannot come back to the United States.
Wasn't it the NSYNC guy? Is that who you're talking about?
Mark Rich?
Not Mark Rich. No, Mark Rich is the commodities trader and the guy who is basically, he and Joe Wilson are exploiting third world countries for their resources.
You lie.
Right. Right.
Still great. Ballsy as hell.
No, Joe Wilson is the... you remember Valerie Plame Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
So Joe Wilson, she was the CIA agent that Scooby Litter.
That Karl Rove orchestrated and didn't serve any time for.
Well, Joe Wilson now goes over to third world countries,
mm-hmm.
and he helps them negotiate their rights to all the resources in their country, as does Mark Rich. Who do you think gets those contracts?
Well, yeah.
Donors to the Clinton Foundation. You're right.
So, why else have a foundation?
Right, exactly.
Be the middleman.
I mean,
it isn't a foundation. It literally isn't. It's just a global network of people who want to operate outside the bounds of the law, any form of ethics, and want to escape all forms of oversight.
Right. Yeah, so I feel like I'm not bringing my end of my A game. All this research, I'm so tired that I'm not bringing it all. But
it's a lot.
It's mind boggling. Yeah,
you watched there's a documentary. You watched the documentary. What did you think of it?
I did. I asked you when I got here. I have to do some fact checking on it, which it sounds like you've already done a lot of it.
If it's alleged about the Clintons, it is true.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I will say this.
She pukes frogs, by God. It's Revelations.
So I did some fact checking. There was a Guardian article that I'll pull up and kind of give you. This was the best negative thing that I could find about the Clintons, but so while I do that, you tell us about.
I would definitely recommend watching it. It is Clinton Cash It's on YouTube. Yeah, it's on YouTube. Definitely watch it. It's not that long. I think it's less than an hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe, yeah. But it's an easy watch. And it'll give you the rundown on everything, you know, what happened in Haiti after...
Or what didn't happen.
Well, exactly. Yeah, what didn't happen, how much money was donated.
We sent Sean Penn down and
right.
Butler won the 2010 NCAA championship t-shirts, and then somebody got rich.
But it does a great job of covering, like what you just mentioned, India, Nigeria, the XL pipeline.
Every resource-rich country they strategically targeted and made themselves basically the gatekeepers of wealth for those third world countries.
Right.
And then they bring in the people that are in the power structure, plug them into the network, and it is an ironclad grip on the resources, guaranteeing they keep getting money and wealth.
Well, and what kind of makes it obvious is how many times like it affected her policy positions on things that she opposed before. Like we were talking about the pipeline, and that was kind of like
environmentalist.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, she pretty much went against the grain on that one.
Yeah.
And it was pretty coincidental when they were making
stunning
speeches for the banks that were funding it. Yeah.
Number one, TD Ameritrade, you know, now it's one of those, you know, these internet trading firms. But, you know, it is a bank, and they had seen this as a strategic opportunity to finance a lot of it, but it was a big gamble.
Yeah.
And actually, they had wanted to have Clinton – they first tried to get the ball rolling right after Clinton left office, and he was too toxic to have him come in and speak.
Right.
And so they had to wait a little while, and then he just knocked it out of the park over and over and over. And you know, I will give you this. Like, part of it is, yes, Bill Clinton – is definitely being overpaid because of Hillary's access and political capital and, you know, being that close to power. But also, he could pull this off because of his, like, he has that,
reality
distortion field.
I was thinking that earlier.
Jobs
I don't know who could actually pull this off and still get away with it.
Only him.
He gets the
benefit of the doubt on people that commit suicide with a shotgun to the stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gets the benefit of the doubt on every woman. Like white trash hairdresser. I mean, he made Tiger Woods look like a choir boy.
Right.
And yet he gets the benefit of the doubt. These are just crazy women. Look at her nose.
Yeah.
You know, she just was swept up. She was just swooning. Right. She was a young intern. Uh-huh. She was in love.
She was dumb. Yeah.
I mean, he gets the benefit of the doubt. He lied. He lied on national television, lied to Congress, and still escaped impeachment.
Yeah, so Mark Rich, there was a pardon of Mark Rich, and he was sentenced to 300 years in prison. After he pled guilty to income tax evasion, wire fraud, racketeering, and trading with Iran during the oil embargo when the revolutionaries were still holding Americans hostages. The charges would have led to a sentence of more than 300 years in prison had he been... had been convicted on all counts. The indictment was filed by Rudy Giuliani. At the time, it was the biggest tax evasion history in the U.S.
You know who was on that?
Who?
Charlie Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Really?
Okay. Yep.
Oh, okay.
He was being investigated.
He was eventually
seen using cocaine in Las Vegas.
He was eventually pardoned by then. Clinton's critics, he was pardoned on the last day, and this became like a huge scandal. Clinton's critics alleged that Rich's pardon had been bought, as Denise Rich had given more than $1 million to Clinton's political party, the Democrats, including more than $100,000 to Hillary's Senate campaign and $450,000 to the Clinton Library. Clinton explained his decision by noting that similar cases were settled in civil, not similar court. That's all from Wikipedia. You can look up more about Mark Rich there if you want to know more about his background. What is Mark Rich up to today? This comes January 17, 2016 from the New York Post. Bill Clinton's pardon of fugitive Mark Rich continues to pay big. 15 years ago this month, on January 20th, 2001, in his last day in office, Bill Clinton issued a pardon for Mark Rich. It would become perhaps the most condemned official act of Clinton's political career, as the New York Times editorial board called it a shocking abuse of presidential power. The usually Clinton-friendly New Republic noted it is often mentioned as Exhibit A of Clintonian sliminess. Congressman Barney Frank added...
I like that phrase, yeah.
Especially since she pukes frogs.
It was a real betrayal by Bill Clinton of all who had been strongly supportive of him to do something this unjustified. It was contemptuous. Let me read that my Barney Frank
that voice. Just sounded like such like brown educated like little sniveling shit outrage.
It was absolutely
it was a real detail of my book about his strongly supported him to do something justified. It was contemptuous.
It's my Barney Frank.
I'm gonna go start a Tumblr.
Uh-oh.
That was your Barney fight.
I got a coughing fit. Mark Rich was wanted.
That's offensive.
For a list of charges going back decades, he had traded illegally with
That's
America's
79.
Enemies.
Oh, my God. That's Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, $200 million worth of oil, while the revolutionaries allied with Khomeini held 53 American hostages. Rich made a large part of his wealth, approximately $2 billion, between 1979 and 94, selling oil to the apartheid regime in South Africa. When it faced a UN embargo, he deals with Gaddafi's Libya, Milosevic's Yugoslavia, Kim Il-sung's North Korea, communist dictatorships in Cuba, and the Soviet Union itself. Little surprise that he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Facing prosecution by Rudy Giuliani in 83, he fled to Switzerland and lived in exile. So a real peach. He traded illegally with Iran's... sorry, that's a caption. What bothered so many was that Clinton's clemency to Rich reeked of payoff. In the run-up to the presidential pardon, financier's ex-wife donated $450,000 to the library, $1 million to Democratic campaigns in the Clinton era.
Bought him the house. That's what bought him the house, because that's what it was contingent upon. It went to the DNC, and then the DNC ended up buying the home.
Right. Judge Abner...
Money laundering.
Right. I'm seeing a problem.
Judge Abner Mikva, a counsel in the Clinton White House and mentor to Obama, even noted that Obama was very, very dismayed by the Mark Rich pardon and basis on which it appeared to have been granted. But does the story end there?
Never does.
Is it possible with the payoffs continued after he left office?
Of course.
What's he doing now?
The stench of scandal in early 2001 sent people scurrying days after it was revealed that a senior U.S. UBS executive named Pierre DeWick had written a letter to Clinton to support a request for his pardon. The Swiss banking giant canceled its discussions with Clinton about a post-lucrative White House speech, apparently worried that a large speaking fee would create an appearance of impropriety. Even Bill Clinton eventually admitted that the pardon had been terrible politics. It wasn't worth the damage to my reputation. But while the pardon was a political mistake, it was not a financial one. In the years following the scandal, the flow of funds from those connected to Mark Rich or the pardon scandal have continued to the Clintons. This is a pulled quote. Rich's business partners, lawyers, advisors, and friends have showered millions of dollars on the Clintons in the decade and a half following the scandal. Rich died in 2013, but his business partners, lawyers, advisors, and friends have showered millions of dollars on the Clintons. And that includes Nigerian businessman Gilbert Chigori, who is well known as a close ally and associate of Rich. The Nigerian media declared in 99 that the Gilbert Chigori Mark Rich alliance remains a formidable foe. They sold oil on international markets together. In 2000, Chigori was convicted in Geneva of money laundering and aiding a criminal organization in connection with the billions of dollars stolen from Nigeria during the reign of the dictator General San Abacha. As a part of the plea deal, the conviction was later expunged. Chigori has been very generous to the Clintons in the following years after the pardon. He organized an event in which Bill was paid $100,000 to speak in 2003, donated millions to the Clinton Foundation, and in 2009 pledged a cool $1 billion to the Clinton Global Initiative. Ooh, way. The Chigoris were also active in Hillary's 2008 presidential bid. Michael Chigori, a relative in Los Angeles, was a bundler and served on her campaign staff. Numerous other relatives gave the maximum $4,600 to her campaign. So generous of all those
and
people,
thorough.
To people to find the money to give. In return, Bill lavished praise on the Chigoris over the years. In 2005, Bill was a keynote speaker when Chigori received the Pride of Heritage Award from the Lebanese community. Sounds like it.
What?
2009 CGI.
He's Lebanese?
It's sort of like probably like Trump. So Trump has all these awards that he touts for his restaurants, and he gets 5 stars from this restaurant rating agency that he owns, and he gives awards to himself.
Why leave anything to chance?
Right. In 2009, CGI gave Chigori's company an award for a sustainable
development. I think we should be an award-winning podcast and start the Wallys. The Wallys.
We gave Rob Kendall an award, so yeah. It's all uphill from there.
Really, awards, anybody can give anybody an award.
Right. Chigori
was
in
the best podcast I've ever been on.
Right.
I know.
Russian Sergei Kurzin. He worked for Mark Rich in the 90s, traveling around Russia looking for suitable investment opportunities in the former Soviet Union. An engineer by training, Kurzin had been involved in lucrative deals in Kazakhstan and other countries, including the lucrative Uranium One deal that involved Bill Clinton and Frank Giustra. Russia bought 20% of all uranium production capacity in the U.S., a deal that needed to be signed off by Hillary Clinton. We've covered that. Speech, 100,000. Meanwhile,
straight cash, homie.
Curzon donated $1 million to the Clinton Foundation. The London-based Rubin Brothers made a fortune thanks in part to their commodities firm, Trans World Metals. According to the World Bank, they founded that firm with money from Mark Rich. And they have confirmed that they have business dealings with Rich. The Rubin Brothers, through their Rubin Foundation, have been enthusiastic supporters of the Clintons. They co-hosted a star-studded gala with the Clinton Foundation in London, dubbed the Millennium Network. They've also directly donated tens of thousands of dollars to the network. Beth Doerts, a longtime Democratic Party donor, was a friend to Denise Rich, and according to congressional investigations, played a key role in helping secure the Rich pardon. She received a phone call from Bill Clinton on January 10, 2001, informing her that he was planning to pardon international fugitive Mark Rich. Doerts informed her ski partner on that trip, Denise Rich, of the great news. In the years since passed, the pardon was granted. Doerts has served the Clintons closely as the finance co-chair of the 2008 campaign, as a senior State Department official during Hillary's tenure, and she has supported the Super PAC Ready for Hillary and the Hillary Clinton campaign. Her husband, Ronald, has sent $25,000 to $50,000 to the Clinton Foundation.
Sounds kind of light.
So it goes on. There's a guy named Gershon Kesitz.
It's endless.
Yeah.
What is Aleppo?
Clyde Metzler. Metzler, Pincus Green.
You know, I bet Aleppo.
Yeah. That's,
I bet Hillary got money from Aleppo.
He's behind the whole thing. Yeah.
Here's a real interesting one.
Can't believe Gary didn't know that.
Damn it, crooked Gary.
Right.
Gary gave money to Clinton. I guarantee it. I'm going to start that rumor.
Gershon
I heard
Kext.
That Gary donated to the Clinton Global Initiative.
Gershon Kext, who is Rich's longtime PR man in the U.S., contributed more than $10,000 since the pardons. Clyde Metzler was named in the original 1983 DOJ indictment against Mark Rich. Metzler pleaded guilty rather than flee the country like Rich and Green. In the 90s, he rejoined Rich working from the fugitive's new firm, Glencore. According to the FEC records, Metzler has a slim history of giving money to candidates, only $1,000 per candidate. But in 2007, he gave the maximum allowed to the Hillary Clinton campaign. Three of Mark Rich's attorneys, Kasich, Fink, and Quinn, also former counsel White House, they've donated between $25,000 and $50,000. So these friends of Mark Rich, they just all donate to the campaign. So
well, she's an inspirational leader, really.
Right. So
when I hear her speak,
I want to donate.
My God.
So we mentioned Shagori, a Nigerian newspaper publisher with ties to the Nigerian regime, pays Bill Clinton $1.4 million for two speeches in 2011 and 2012. In 2012, Secretary of State Hillary makes an official visit to Nigeria against the wishes of Human Rights Watch and congratulates the regime's brutal dictator, Goodluck Jonathan, on his reform efforts. Nigerian mogul Gilbert Shagori donates millions to the Clinton Foundation and both Clinton's campaigns. As Secretary of State, Hillary refuses to name Boko Haram, a Nigerian jihadist group responsible for murdering thousands, a terrorist group. Procter & Gamble,
George Clooney did,
wins the Secretary of State's 2000... Procter & Gamble wins the Secretary of State's 2011 Award for Corporate Excellence for its work for improving education and health in Nigeria. P&G donated millions to the Clinton Foundation. Boko Haram was the one that...
They're the ones that stole the girls. Give her girls back.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So
I bet Michelle Obama had a few choice words for Hillary.
Right.
That's right.
Good luck, Jonathan. Yeah.
Bring our girls back.
A good name.
Yeah.
That's better than the other foreign-sounding names, because you hear that and you're like, oh, he's not that bad a dictator. I bet he only killed half the people.
Frank Giustra commits $100 million to the Clinton Foundation in 2007. That year, his pipeline company, Pacific... This is after he's left Uranium One. Pipeline company, Pacific Rubalaza... What is with these names? It's all insane. Inks a contract with a state-owned energy company in Colombia. Hillary flip-flops on U.S.-Colombian free trade agreements.
Crooked Hillary.
Right.
You don't remember the mob in New York?
Right.
Well, they'd go to independent store owners and they'd say, listen, we provide security services for a fee.
Yeah.
But we can make sure no one's going to break into your neighborhood, and if someone does, they'll never do it again.
Mm-hmm. Hillary's brother, Tony Rodham, is named to the board of the Haitian company VCS Mining. VCS Mining wins lucrative mining concessions from the Haitian government. It's a very small mining company. It's not. It's a fairly new company, and their award, Hillary helped steer $4 billion in U.S. aid to the island nation since 2010, and they are awarded that contract.
We could have bought all of the Caribbean for $4 billion.
Right. The Norwegian government reports donating $89.6 million to the Clinton Foundation from 2007 to 2015. The foundation website, meanwhile...
The government?
Yes.
To the foundation?
Yes. The foundation website, meanwhile, misstated that amount between $10 million and $25 million when it was actually $89.
That's easy to do.
Yeah.
Since 2006, the Australian government paid $75 million to the Clinton Foundation.
Well, that is an island of criminals.
Right.
It started that way, and that's where crooked Hillary needs to go.
To administer programs in Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, and Vietnam. Now, let's all remember that since 2006, they've gotten this money to administer programs, but only $9 million in 2013 was sent to direct aid. And direct aid means Doctors with Borders... Without Borders, they go and they actually touch a human being in need. That is technically direct aid. What the Clinton Foundation, you know how we rag on the Red Cross for having administration fees? Well, this is that on steroids. Red Cross was like 50, 60%. They're 90, 92% in terms of administration costs.
I like to think of more of a brokerage fee.
Right. 4 days after Hillary is nominated as Secretary of State in 2009, TD Bank, one of Keystone XL's largest shareholders, hires Bill for the first of a string of speeches for which he'd get paid $2 million in all. A Swedish organization donates $26
million. I hate the Baltics.
Right.
I'm done with them.
To the foundation.
I want Putin to take them.
Send them back.
Yep.
This is a good one.
They need to... Yep.
A Swedish organization donates $26 million to the foundation as Hillary's State Department weighs sanctions against Swedish business concerns for dealing with Iran. In the end, no companies were cited.
What were they going to do, redecorate the State Department with IKEA furniture? Right. I mean, for Christ's sake.
They'd still be working on it.
Yeah.
Gulf states of Oman, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates all contribute millions to the Clinton Foundation.
Well, they have it.
Nothing going on there.
Right. American cutouts are used to funnel Chinese mainland money to the DNC, which is illegal. Foreign donations are not allowed to go to federal committees. They use cutouts to funnel Chinese money to the Democratic National Committee to support Bill Clinton's presidential agenda and in violation of campaign finance laws.
He sold them nuclear and space technology. That's how they built their nuclear or their space program was on technology. Clinton sold them in exchange for campaign donations.
The Saudi Arabian government and organizations connected to it has funneled tens of millions of dollars to the foundation. Secretary Clinton pushed for arms sales, in particular F-15 fighter jets, to Saudi Arabia. Those jets were later used in the bombing of journalists, ambulance drivers, civilians, and Doctors Without Borders facilities, and Saudi Arabia's air campaign and Yemen's rights groups said. So, take heed. Because of Hillary Clinton's pay-to-play, you have helped murder Yemeni citizens and Doctors Without Borders.
I kind of feel like we probably should elect her just to keep all these dominoes from falling.
Right.
I mean, I'm kind of worried now.
I don't know. I want to be great again. Can you imagine? This is why this is so great. This whole global network, it's literally like the most recent Bond movies where there's this like secret global, you know, I think it was underwater. Like it was about a water company in Bolivia in the last Bond movie. And it's like global elites that meet in random locations and control the world's resources. And can you imagine if all of a sudden it's Donald Trump they have to try and get access to? It would be the most fun thing to be just sitting in the room and he's just like, yes, come in. You're fired. Like, sir, I'm not here for a job. It doesn't matter. You're fired.
According to the Huffington Post, the Clintons bagged at least $3.4 million for 18 speeches funded by Keystone Pipeline Banks. The New York Times, Clinton Foundation shook down a tidy tsunami relief nonprofit for a $500,000 speaking fee. New York Magazine, Clinton Foundation strong-armed charity watchdog group. They have basically manipulated Charity Navigator into giving them... it's on the front page of their website.
Well, I mean, like, these charities, though, are false organizations, too.
Right.
They're a front. The initiative's a front, masking the transaction between power brokers.
Yeah. Donna
and so, like, they didn't get strong-armed.
Right.
They just were like, no, we have the upper hand here. I don't care how many people you think you're not saving.
Right. Donna Shalala is the head of the Clinton Foundation. She's the former Health and Human Services. She wrote a glowing, Charity Navigator loves us. Of all the charities, we are the greatest charities, sort of what it read. It's on the front page of the Clinton Foundation. And that is one thing that if you look at the financial records of the Clinton Foundation, most of that 90% that doesn't get out to poor people for amorphous things like climate change and other, you know, like if you look at what
carbon, credits.
Right. What they do, it's very little of it is like they've done some AIDS stuff, but in Kazakhstan, so 0.01% of the population has AIDS in Kazakhstan, and that's where they do their AIDS work. Hey, what happened in Kazakhstan? I forget. Oh yeah, that's where all the uranium is. Mm-hmm. So it's basically 19th century colonialism that is taking place again, and they are paying out consulting fees to all of their old cronies. You know, they pay Donna Shalala, one of the people's Huma Abedin. When she was at the, she was making a consulting fee from the Clinton Foundation
and the State Department
and another consulting firm. And Hillary Clinton gave her special. She created something called a special government employee for Huma Abedin. And it's basically graft. This is Plunkett of Tammany Hall, but for the first time, it's on a global level. And we are now letting dictators and brutal murderers influence our foreign policy and in the American government for them to get rich.
Here's the thing, though, is the government class wants this.
Right.
They have a vested interest in the Clintons and that network. They want this because this makes their life easier.
Oh, yeah.
It's pay to play. It's not even joking about who it is. It escapes the public view because of Bill's charming abilities. And that's just, this is the cost of doing business. It's what greases the gears, I guess you could say. And there's no even lying about it.
Right.
And so the reality is anyone that's against this faces literally the largest enemy possible.
Yep.
You face the entire bureaucracy apparatus and you face the most wealthy elite network of financiers and, you know, I mean, it's cultural. It's people that make Hollywood movies.
It is
all of global finance. It is murderous dictators.
Have you seen the Blacklist?
Yeah.
This is the world they're operating
in. It's the total control of resources that can create false resource constraints and spark an energy crisis. It can topple governments through the ability to do those things. It got the World Cup changed because Oman was using slaves and letting them fall off the facility they were building. And Bill was like, no, I'll tell you, this guy's a hell of a guy. Yeah. Hell of a guy. I really trust him. You know, he's a reformer.
Right. And so here's the problem. And Peter Schweitzer said, yes, I am a conservative. But the problem is 10 years down the road, conservatives will be doing this. Republicans will be doing this. Democrats will be doing this. Independents will be doing this. And we are, if we don't put our foot down and say, no, this is wrong as a society now, then it's pay to play. I mean, you get, as much as we want to make Soros the boogeyman, he is. Or as much as you want to make the Koch brothers the boogeyman, they may be, although we're still holding out for that Koch check. Mm-hmm. But
liberty can be a boogeyman.
Sure. But this is like, as reported on and denounced by Salon Mother Jones Huffington Slate, Hillary Clinton's State Department, an investigation by the International Business Times, finds that the State Department gave Clinton Foundation donors weapons deals and approved $165 billion worth of commercial arms sales to 20 nations whose governments have given money to the Clinton Foundation, according to an IBT Times analysis of the State Department and Foundation data, reports the International Business Times. That figure, derived from the three full fiscal years of the Clinton's term as Secretary of State, represented nearly double the value of Americans' arms sales made to those countries and approved by the State Department during the same period of George W. Bush's term. So as much as you want to say, oh, George W. Bush, what a war hawk, what a militaristic act, she is personally profiting off of the death of the very people that the Clinton Foundation is supposed to be helping. The people that are the downtrodden, the poor, that they're trying to, you know, it's such phony bullshit.
But no one wants it to end.
Right.
Because they're the cool kids. It's exciting. I'm in the know. I'm in the room at these neat galas, and the conversations are incredible. And Brad Pitt's sitting over there.
No one wants it to stop.
Yeah,
you're a conspiracy theorist if you bring this stuff up. There is a new report out that actually was just put out in the last couple days what's this guy's name? I saw it on Zero Hedge. Oh, gosh.
Is it one of the ones Tyler Durden posted or no?
Charles Ortel.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Did a longtime financial advisor said he has spent the past 15 months digging into the foundation's public records, federal, state, and tax filings and donor disclosures. The records indicate the foundation's many offshoots, including the Health Access Initiative, the Global Initiative, as well as its foreign subsidies. Ortel is starting to release his findings in a first of a series of up to 40 planned reports on his website, which is charlesortel.com. His allegation, quote unquote, this charity is a fraud. The Sunday Times of London described Ortel as one of the finest analysts of financial statements on the planet in a 2009 story detailing the troubles at AIG. Sunday Times reporter writing, where you or I see pages of numbers, Ortel sees a narrative. Sometimes the theme is a company's potential for growth. Sometimes it is the prospect of self-destruction.
None of it will matter because even the media donates. George Stephanopoulos. It is every level.
Yeah.
It'll be a blackout. It'll be a blackout on her coughing, on her having a concussion and not remembering specific briefings in a report by the FBI. The FBI director is afraid of Hillary Clinton.
Right. I don't even know how you would prosecute this or challenge it. I don't even know where you start.
Bill Clinton got on a plane with the one lady who would be in charge of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is every level.
The Matt Lauer, Clinton Matt Lauer. Foundation donor.
Every level.
Right.
Except Trump is. That's why Trump alone can break the entire thing. Yeah. That's why I just kind of want to watch a bull in a china shop.
Well, so
you know it sounds good, guys.
Bernie Sanders earlier this month said, "Hey, time for you to cut this shit out and leave." Uh-huh.
After he bought his house, right?
Yeah, $600,000 vacation home.
So. FBI, this is from Radar Online. So again, take it with a grain of salt. This is August 12, 2016. The Clinton Foundation could be in deep trouble now, ! Radar Online. According to a new report, several FBI probes of the charity have uncovered alleged links to corruption. You think? The probe is narrowing its focus on New York City, where the foundation have its main offices. The U.S. Attorney's Office will be assisting in the investigation, and they are sending in a heavy hitter named Preet Bharara, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. Bharara is known for being an aggressive prosecutor who has charged dozens of Wall Street figures with insider trading and has convicted the leaders of both houses of the state legislature, says the New Yorker. His skills have even resulted in Citigroup paying out $158 million. Do we think for one minute...
By the former Treasury Secretary illegally by Bill Clinton.
Right.
By the repeal of Glass-Steagall.
So it's like
Citigroup, we had to pay $150 million in fines. Yeah, you also got to create $1 billion organization illegally. You did it with the Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, but four of the board members of the Clinton Foundation have been arrested or indicted in some type of financial fraud and have had to resign. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, BuzzFeed, two of Hillary Clinton's top donors were major felons.
The hedge fund manager and then another guy from Connecticut that was forging loans to get more loans.
Let me tell you, I work at a radio station, and BuzzFeed, they were the only people calling every radio station in town wanting old tapes of Mike Pence when he had his radio show.
Is it Andrew Kaczynski?
I don't know. He was a big get,
I think, from the Washington Post. They were able to pluck off. Yeah.
BuzzFeed's being serious about news. Also, all those tapes were destroyed by Amos.
Well, yeah.
So when he ran for governor, Amos
Crooked
destroyed
Pence.
The tape. Yep. Daily Beast.
There's one man and one man alone.
Daily Beast, Clinton's charity scored millions from Qatar and donations from corrupt FIFA soccer organization.
Ta-da!
They have received between $50,000 and $100,000 from FIFA. The Associated Press, Clinton's have a secret pass-through company, reported the AP.
WFC Holdings, or
they
LLC?
Omit a company with no apparent employees or assets that the former president has legally used to provide consulting and other services.
That's the one.
Which demonstrates the complexity of the family's finances, reported the AP.
Shell company after shell company after shell company.
If you look up WJC LLC company.
William Jefferson Clinton, yep. LLC.
New York Times, Hillary funneled 10,000. I'm only halfway through this list of headlines. Hillary funneled 10,000 monthly payments to Sidney Blumenthal through the Clinton Foundation. As I mentioned, Donna Shalala, head of the Clinton Foundation. It's all just a front to keep these. It's like if you remember back in Glenn Beck's Fox News days when he'd report on the Tides Foundation, he'd have the tree of all the Soros money. Like, this is kind of what he was talking about, but in the billions of dollars range. New Yorker, Bill Clinton scored a $500,000 speech in Moscow, paid for a Kremlin-backed bank.
That was the one that he got, and then they got bought off more by the Ukraine Eurasian One.
Yep. New York Times.
It was a bidding war for him to come speak. Must be nice. It's been a hell of a speech.
This is the New York Times report on the Haiti deal that Tony Rodham benefited from. Wall Street Journal, Clinton Foundation violated memorandum of understanding with the Obama administration by keeping secret a foreign donation of 2 million shares of stocks from a foreign executive with business before Hillary's State Department. Do you think that might be the only one?
That is a rat hole.
Right.
You award stock, and that's the evidence that it exists, to a family member or a trusted confidant. You make them rich. They get a portion of the appreciation in stock, and the rest is diverted back to holding companies to the Clintons. How else do you go to $265 million to a negative net worth in under 16 years?
Clinton Cash revealed that Canadian mining tycoon Stephen Daddle scored an open pit mining concession at the Fubari mines in Bangladesh, where his Polo Resources had investments. The coveted perk came just 2 months before, or 2 months after, Polo Resources gave the Clinton Foundation 2 million shares of stock, a donation that the Clinton Foundation kept hidden.
We forgot about it because there's so many.
This claim from the book was validated by the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. So when you ask me what errors that Guardian, when you ask about fact checking, mm-hmm. when I looked, I could find a bunch of stuff on Media Matters, which their stuff was Media Matters.
Right.
And very flimsy. The Guardian, which is a paper I respect greatly, did a report on the book. And the most that they could find was their biggest complaint was a TD Bank press release that he cited in the book was called a fraud, like a week after it was exposed. And it was in the book. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of it. So you have all these, you know, when you have like this...
An intern put out a press release on our summer internship at TD Ameritrade, and that...
Right.
Like, that's the one thing you expose?
Right.
Right.
New York Times.
It's all wrong.
Whole thing
based on an intern press release.
Hillary Clinton's campaign claims she had no idea her State Department was considering approving the transfer of 20% of U.S. uranium to the Russian government, even as the Clinton Foundation bagged $145 million in donations from the investors in the deal. This is a 4,000-word front page New York Times investigation that you can look up that we mentioned earlier. Bloomberg, a for-profit university, put Bill Clinton on its payroll and scored a jump in funding from Hillary's State Department. When Clinton Cash revealed the scheme, Bill Clinton quickly resigned. That was
honorary chancellor for the tune of $18 million.
Laureate International Universities. The head of, and that particular institution is banned in several third world countries. New York Times, the head of the Russian government's uranium company, Ian Teffler, made secret donations totaling $2.3 million to the Clinton Foundation as Hillary's State Department approved the transfer of 20% of all uranium to the Russians. Washington Post, Bill and Hillary Clinton have made at least $26 million in speaking fees from entities who are top Clinton foundations. Washington Free Beacon, which is a right-leaning paper. Former Clinton campaign operative turned ABC News host George Stephanopoulos failed to disclose his $75,000 donation and deep involvement in the Clinton Foundation before launching an attack interview against Clinton Cash author.
And that is not an outlier.
most of the media on the major, like ABC, CBS, NBC,
that's big names.
At some point, worked for the Bill's staff, or were in the press corps. Just charmed to death. I mean, that is, they're at the CEO and director level now in their careers, and it is bought and paid for top to bottom.
Right.
CNBC, Clinton Foundation mega donor Frank Holmes claimed he sold Uranium One before Hillary Clinton's State Department approved the Russian transfer, despite his company's own SEC filings proving otherwise. Politico, Hillary's foundation accepts $1 million from human rights violator Morocco for a lavish event. I mean, so, you know, when Bill Clinton says, none of this will fly, I mean, it's all hogwash and people, this is a conspiracy.
The vast right-wing conspiracy.
Right. Here are multiple newspapers that I highly respect, and I think that most people highly respect as well.
They're the New York Times.
New York Times, the Washington Post, the AP.
The Telegraph, the Guardian.
These are...
Ben Greenwald, Snowden.
They're all... It's all unraveling. You know, the email leaks proved that Huma Abedin, you know, that Hillary Clinton personally approved that Huma Abedin would collect three paychecks.
But I mean, like, with the emails, like, the loyalty and the amount of people that have vested financial interests guarantee there isn't, won't be flipping or whistleblowing.
Sure.
There at the, it was Platitude or Platform Networks was the email provider.
Right.
Shockingly, the day before Jason Chaffetz orders them, since they didn't follow through on the original order to delete the archives, shockingly, the day before, totally untipped off, no documentation of communication record or order by direct superior, decides, you know what, I will finally do it after a month of ignoring the order. I'm just going to go ahead and delete every archived email personal record. And then Jason Chaffetz sends the letter. From the committee. Completely untipped off.
Right. What was the smashed phones? Somebody said something about smashed phones. The Blackberries that were destroyed.
Oh, that's what she does.
Oh, I mean, that seems reasonable to me. I mean, I'll give her credit for that one.
Nobody wants those nudes from Crooked Hillary. Crooked Incontinent Hillary. Gross.
I would love to see the nudes of Huma that she has on her phone.
Oh, jeez.
She's on the market.
Listen.
You're going to be part of the network. He's going to be on the take.
Listen,
crooked leader.
I know you're listening, Huma. I know. If you don't want me to release this, hit me up.
Check your Twitter. Right. I got a pic for you.
I don't need to hit me up on Snapchat, babe. So yeah, I don't know what can be done about this. All you can do is just, you know.
I think you can do one thing.
Yeah,
you'll hate it.
The podcast.
Yep, here we go.
No, you'll hate it.
November 8th.
It is the greatest wrench in the history of the global gears that has ever existed.
Remember the...
You throw the one that he and he alone, the Law and Order candidate, into a global network of people who find him absolutely awful, and no one in any political party has any access to a guy that's a reality TV star.
That's not true, though. He had...
Bought Hillary!
Yeah, he is part of it.
He can say that on stage. Yeah. I already bought you.
He just
wouldn't even need to be here if you'd done your job, Crooked Hillary.
He just paid off an attorney general. He does the same stuff. He has the same... Do you think for 1 minute
he's so toxic.
Do you think that guy doesn't want to be a part of it?
Oh, he rebuilt their playground. The Manhattan, the Upper East Side, used to be porn theaters. The Commodore Hotel right across from Trump Tower.
This is a man
who built where the elites dabble and play.
This is a man...
He's always on the outside.
I know, and that's... He desperately wants to be on the inside. And this is
the thumb in the eye.
This is him finally getting the acceptance that he never got from Daddy.
Oh, I don't think so. I think this is...
Ooh, that's deep.
Yeah, I think this is him saying, my name will go down being remembered. Now I will be one of part of the elites, but I'll never be. He'll never be in that group. Even though he rebuilt Manhattan, and that's where the heirs, the Roosevelts, the Kennedys, they all dabble and play and, you know, pretend they do art and philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, he's always on the outside looking in because his dad was a slumlord.
Right.
And so,
and his grandfather was.
This is his chance to make sure the Trump name. I mean, it's almost to laugh in their face that my name will go down in American history and yours won't.
Yeah, I see it the other way. I see that he has always wanted to be a part of that.
Gave up that since he left the Clintons behind.
I think as a shy little fat kid sitting on the sidelines in third grade, I wanted to be a part of that group.
That's what politics is all about. What do you think politics is?
But then you broke away.
Yeah, but see, politics is all about the revenge of the kid that didn't get picked for the team in third grade. That's all this is. This is nerd sports. This is our revenge on jocks like Mayo for being handsome.
Time out.
And being athletic. And getting all the hot chicks.
He better add hashtag no homo.
There's no latent homosexuality. You shut up.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
All right. No, I see it the other way.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way. I just enjoy it because, my God, what a thumb in the eye to these global arrogant pricks that think they've bought and created the future of the country at every level.
I think he is as much a part of the system as anybody else.
No one claims him. Hell, Republicans don't claim him. Paul Ryan doesn't claim him.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like, no one. He had to get Scott Baio to speak at the Republican National Convention.
Scott Baio.
He did. Right. Chachi. Yeah.
Well, it's Muslim.
That's the best he could do.
It was Mexican outreach.
But no, I'm serious. Like, that's no one claims this guy because he is so toxic.
Right.
Bill Weld has better ties. I mean, he's friends with Hillary. Like, he won't say a bad word about her. Like, Gary's,
yeah, because he doesn't want to get murdered.
But Gary's, you know, Gary's still, you know, I'll just give him some pot. He'll go away. You know what I mean? Like, you know, tell him to go look at the lava lamp for a while and give him some of the good stuff.
Someone said today he could name 128 strains of weed, but he can't name the capital of Syria.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's to me, like, this. That's what feels so good about Trump to me is, my right. God, these arrogant, condescending, elitist know-it-alls that think they have it all sewed up all the time. And here comes the guy that puts his name on stakes and water and has failed repeatedly and, prior to Melania, trashy-ass women, like, just everything wrong you could do in their circles, and gives no craps. And to watch them have to have meetings with this man will just be fantastic.
Right.
And I like walls. I want to physically remove Bittner, so to speak.
If he's going to remove Bittner, I'm
reporting him day one to the deportation team if Trump wins. Bittner's a Mexican. Yeah. It's Bittnero.
Yeah, Bittnero.
It's little L. Bittnero.
I got to rethink my support here. You might be onto something.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, never Bittner. He's going to get rid of Bittner. Might be in.
Mm-hmm.
I can wear that hat full time.
Well, I think since we data dumped, wrap this one up and then do some analysis next time.
Yeah.
Because up against time.
Yeah, I think you got a couple more shows out of this. This is there's a lot here.
Much here.
We can talk about crooked Hillary more.
I like beating up on Hillary now. I'm in. So,
but it's funny, none of us beat up on Bill, who's really orchestrating all this.
Sure. Yeah.
No, he's great. Oh, God. Well, no, it's just Bill. That's what Bill does. You know, he's special. He gets away with it.
Misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, let's wrap up. Any final thoughts?
Well, My blood pressure's good. My cholesterol's good.
Right.
My brakes are good on my car. So
I'm
just throwing that out there, guys. I'm happy.
As our last, I'll give my last will and testament.
A little nervous about this show.
Yep. Your turn, Greg.
I don't fear crooked Hillary. I will never fear a leader that wears a diaper and throws up frogs. She is the absolute, I guess, acceptance of revelations, and I had never always doubted it, but Hillary proves it's real.
Yeah, there's that gif. I saw a gif of her vomiting
up frogs.
Vomiting into a cup, and it does. It looks like a frog.
I'm telling you, revelations.
I'm saying David Icke's with his reptilian people. He may be onto it.
Why have I not seen this?
Oh my! Go to my Facebook page.
I'm looking at it now. Let's see.
Yeah,
I made a meme about it and put the revelations quote. I struck fear right into the heart of crooked Hillary.
Is it Greg or Gregory?
It's Gregory.
I mean, because both of them come up. So.
Yeah, Greg's a little less active. What? Cyber terrorist allegations and everything.
What is your name? Sorry, if I'm Gary Johnson moment.
All right. Well,
he's hitting on Bay. So, as my last will and testament, I leave everything to Mittens. I leave all of We Are Libertarians to Mittens, and I leave nothing to Cornelius, and you know why. All right. Thank you for joining us here on this episode of We're Libertarians. We will see you next time. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
This episode of We're Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We're Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeareLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Thank you for listening to the We're Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeareLibertarians.com.